Sit down. You don't even go get a going down part.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
I'd heard it one time in my life. Pretty good job for the song leader not to know it, don't you? He done well.
Excuse me.
Amen. Amen. Anyone have anything on your heart this morning? Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, starting at verse 9. Of course, we're starting in the parables of Jesus, and a parable is some kind of maybe an allegory. It's taking something familiar and describing something unfamiliar with that, and that's Jesus is doing that, and he told the disciples he didn't do it on their account. He was they had the mysteries, and so he just uses these, and it really, what a great way of teaching. Teachers, a lot of teachers today use this kind of teaching tool, and it is a great way. I know some phenomenal preachers that preach allegorically and things like this, and a way to really get you. Now, if I got up here and started talking about jet engines, most of y'all would be lost. But if I get up here and start talking about cows and raising tobacco and farm and country and so things like that, we all could identify a little better. And that's what Jesus is doing in these parables. And so this morning we're going to look at this one, when the old becomes new. I want to look at it, the old becomes new. If you would stand with me, we'll start reading at verse 9. And Jesus passed from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them that they, behold, need not a physician, but they are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine in old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. We thank you for your blessings of life. We thank you for all your mercy and grace. Father, I'm so thankful today, Lord, for your touch upon us. I'm so thankful, God, for each and every one that's here. Lord, open up our intellect and our hearts today and speak to us through your word and through the Holy Spirit. God, help us to be open to listen to you today and listen and allow you to minister to us as you see fit.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. John's disciples and the Pharisees had come to Jesus and were saying, "Well, we fast, our disciples fast. Why does your disciples not fast?" And now Jesus didn't have a problem with fasting. And in Matthew 17:21, he quotes as, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." The problem in this here and the question, the problem was not the problem with fasting. It was the problem of what they were fasting for. See, they were fasting, and in that time, often the Jews, a lot of the Jews would fast every Tuesday and every Thursday, and then once annually on the Day of Atonement, fasting and praying for the Messiah to come and save them. That's where their goal was, and they was looking for Jesus. They was looking for the Messiah, and they were fasting and praying. And Jesus said, they don't need to fast and pray. Amen? They've already got what you're looking for. And we live in the world today, how many folks is looking for what you got? Amen? A lot of folks would love to have the peace and joy that you have. Would love to have the contentment through these storms that we're talking about. And through the hardships. And the peace that passes all understanding. See, that is what... There's folks that would just love to have what you got. Amen. That's where the Jesus disciples was. And he said, how can the children of the bride chamber mourn when the bridegroom's with them? Amen. He said, now there'll come a time when the bridegroom will be gone, and then that they can fast. But even when he goes away, we'll still not be mourning. We'll still got his presence in our lives. We've still got the Holy Spirit that dwells within us as Christians. So, look, and we have the same God in an ever-changing world. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Now, times has changed, and things are a lot different than they was back then. But even though, what's the old saying? As much as things change, the more they stay the same. Amen? People still looking for something better. People still looking for something new in their lives. They'll spend their whole fortunes. They'll spend all the money that they have looking for something that'll fill that hole that's in their lives that only... It's a Jesus-shaped void. And until we put Him in that hole, we'll never be full. We'll never be satisfied. We'll go from relationship to relationship, from job to job, from church to church, from house to house. We'll go and searching until we find what it is that we need. Jesus was telling John's disciples and the Pharisees, see, they've already got what they need. Amen. See, man sinned in the Garden of Eden, and we were separated from God. And of course, we all know this. But the old covenant was given, and the old law was given that we could point us towards something different. If I ask this morning, and I'm not asking, but if I ask this morning, how many has broken one of the Ten Commandments? If we was honest, probably every one of us would raise your hand. Amen? Everyone's told a little fib or stole a piece of bubble gum or something. We've all messed up. We all sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God. And as we see, and what the law was, the law was not given to take you to heaven. You might say, preacher, what? The law was given to show that you need an intercessor. The law was given that, Tim, you can't make it to heaven. If you have to obey every law to make it to heaven, you're doomed, boy. And then that's where Jesus steps in the scene. He says, what you can't do, I can do. Where you fail, I accomplish. Where you fall short, that's where I really thrive. Amen. And so I started trusting on His righteousness, because mine sure ain't going to do it. And the law was not given. And see, the Pharisees, and in this time, and it was still so, they tried to keep the law. Oh man, they had so many laws, and they added a few to them. And you couldn't walk but so far on Sundays. You couldn't do this. You couldn't do that. All these laws that come along with sacrificing, and whoo! I thank God Jesus took care of all that, don't you? But see, we needed a new covenant. And this is the person, Jesus Christ. John 3:3 said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In Titus 3:4-5, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Jesus said, I've come, I'm showing ye a new way. The old religious system wasn't getting the job done. It got the job done. What it was purposed for was to point you to the Savior. Point you to the new covenant. All right, we see in verse 15. I've hurried through my introduction this morning, so. Verse 15, we see the new bridegroom. He said, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I will do a new thing. Hosea 2:20 says, I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. John 3:29 says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth hereat and hereat with him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. John said, the bridegroom has come, and the Old Testament prophesied of it. Now Jesus has come, and John said, therewith I have heard His voice, and now there is joy in me. I am now have met the bridegroom. He is here. The one that we have talked about all these years, the ones we've read about, the ones the prophets wrote about, all of these things through the years, He is now in our midst. He must be lifted up, and I must be go down. He must increase, and I must decrease. I'm moving out of the scene. I've come to introduce you to the one that's going to bring new life, that's going to take you to heaven, that's going to answer all your questions, and is everything that you're ever going to need. He's the bridegroom. I'm just a friend of the bridegroom, and I've met Him, I've heard His voice, and glory, hallelujah, there's joy in my heart. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, today that ought to be the testimony on our hearts when we go to work. That ought to be the testimony on our hearts when we go out to eat and when we get around people, that I know the bridegroom. I know Jesus. And let me tell you what He's done for me. Amen. See, the kingdom is like a wedding feast. The attendants are not going to mourn as long as the bridegroom's with them. Now, according in the wedding feast, the groom would come. He would betroth his bride. And then he would go away and prepare a place for them to live, and then he would come back and get them. So, and that's where Jesus was talking, and he's likening this, the kingdom, to a banquet. And while Jesus was on earth, the disciples was full of joy. They were getting fed the good stuff. But the marriage will be completed one day. Glory, hallelujah. And I never thought of this. I won't have to watch my sugar up there. I'll say, pass the fruit, Jesus. Give me a piece of bread. Amen. Amen. But the marriage will be completed at the marriage supper of the Lamb when he comes back and calls the church out, and we're took to heaven to spend eternity with him. Glory, hallelujah. This is what Jesus was saying about the bridegroom. He said, they're not going to mourn as long as I'm here. I'm the bride. The church is the bride, and I'm the bridegroom. I'm the one they've been waiting on. I'm the answer to all of the old prophets. I'm the answer to the things and all of your prayers that you've been fasting ever twice a week and once a year and all of this. I'm the one you've been praying for. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. What a blessed hope. And if we have Him as our Savior today and He lives in our hearts, boy, we ought to be joyful. We ought to be rejoicing about it. Instead of sitting around looking like a bunch of hog-eating sawbrowers. Amen? Sad. That smile turned down, got a frown, and grumpy. Amen? Ain't nothing more sad than a grumpy Christian. Amen? We've got something to be joyful about. Jesus has saved your soul and you don't have to go to hell. Amen? That's something to smile about. That's something to be joyful about and let other folks know about. The second thing was not a new bridegroom, but a new brand of clothing. Now, in daytime, we're always looking for that expensive, that good brand of clothes. Amen? Folks, they're getting rich off of new brands of clothing that come out, and it's just, and stuff that my mom used to make me throw away. You got to pay a lot of money for those pants anymore. Amen? I wish I'd have kept all those. I could get rich now, huh? But Mama wouldn't let me wear them. She'd make me wear the knees was in them. But the new brand of clothing in verse 16, no man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment. For that which is put in to fill up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. See, the old form of religion up to this time could not be patched up. It was so full of rigidness. It was so full of legalism. There's no way that Jesus could take eternal life and what He brings, His power and His joy and His love, and put it into an old law. It had to be different. It had to be done different. And he's saying in this, the old form of religion, these garments, and especially in that day, they were wool and they would shrink a lot. And if you took a garment that had been shrunk, and then you put a new piece of cloth in that garment that had not been shrunk, and when you wash it, probably most of us have seen what happens. That little piece of cloth then shrinks and pulls in and makes the tear worse than it ever was. And Jesus said, you can't take what we know as religion and stick in what God has got in store through me into that and make it work. You've got to have a whole new garment. We can't. And that is true in a life. We can't take a sin-filled life that we live to ourselves, we live to pleasure, we live to the things of the world, we live just to satisfy us and stick religion in it. It don't work. So this world is full of folks that is trying to get enough religion to make a difference. And what you're going to do, you'll stick in enough to make you the most miserable person in the world. That you got enough of the world in you that you ain't happy with the Lord, and you got enough of the Lord in you that you ain't happy with the world, and no matter which way you turn, you're miserable. And Jesus said it don't work that way. You can't take something, an old something, and just stick something new in it. That it'll come out and be worse than it was to begin with. And as we see in this passage, and he was talking about the old way, the old law, and the way they were, and there's something new. See, Jesus weaves a new garment. I'm so glad for the robe of righteousness that he made me and put on me. Glory, hallelujah. I didn't have nothing to do with that coat. I didn't have nothing to do with that robe. He made it. He come up with it. He made all everything about it. He bought the cloth. He sewed it together. And then one night at an old altar, I knelt down and I said, Lord, I'm tired of the way I'm living. I'm tired of this mess. And he just come up and slipped that new coat right on me. Glory, hallelujah. I thank God for the new clothes that he put on me. Amen. I'm so glad of that today that I don't have to try to obey a bunch of laws. Now the reason I try to obey a law is because I love him. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's because I want to be an obedient child. And most of y'all's got children. There's nothing any worse than a disobedient child. I figured I'd get amens right there. It seems like I don't have any, but it seems like the older they get, the worse they get. Amen? But I want to be an obedient child. See, he didn't come to patch up our lives with his righteousness. He came to clothe us with his righteousness and put us far out of the equation. Put our legalism, our traditions, the things that we hold near and dear, put them aside and allow a new life, a new way, and allow him to minister and work through us. Amen. Boy, there's a lot of folks that's still trying to patch up the old garments. Then the third I see is the new bottle. Neither do men put new wine into an old bottle, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out and the bottles perish, but put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. The process and the fermenting and the process through of wine fermenting puts off gases, and it expands. And the old wine skins that was in that day it is talking about, that they would take the torso, I guess, with the legs off and sewed up, and they would take the skins, actual skins, they'd be tanned of lambs. Some of them, they even used bigger animals, had great big bottles, but usually they were like little lambs, and they would sew the holes up and leave one hole open, usually the neck. And then they'd put liquids in these skins, and they would it wasn't bottles or any plastic or anything like that in that day. It was the old leather wine skins that they would use. And then when they'd seal them up, they'd go through this process, and the wine, the skin, when the wine expanded, the skin would stretch and allow for that expanse. And what happened then, when the old skins got rigid and got had already stretched out, and then if you tried to put new wine in that old skin, then it would expand, and then the bottle would burst. And all the wine would run out, and the bottle's no longer any good, and the wine's no good because you've just spilled it on the ground. So it would destroy both. And this is the story that Jesus was using here, that legalistic Judaism could never handle His power and truth. You pour the new wine into an old bottle, it'll blow. There's going to be a hole come somewhere. But you put the new wine into a new bottle, that's where the church comes in. That's the way that Jesus came, and what He came about was that we could be filled with His Spirit through what we know of as regeneration, salvation, being saved. That we are then made a new bottle. The old bottle can't hold the Holy Spirit, but a new bottle can. And the Holy Spirit's not going to come and fill someone that's not been saved and accepted the blood of Jesus Christ. And He will not, because it cannot hold it. It would bust and it'd both be ruined. But the new wine has been poured into the church, into the new bottles. Wow. Praise the Lord. And notice at the bottom of this passage, this verse, and both are preserved. Who's both? That's the Holy Spirit and us. We're both preserved. Glory, hallelujah. Not that He needs us, we need Him, but He's preserved and He works through our lives. When we allow the impression of hope, be not filled with wine, which is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. The infilling. And when He fills us, and then what that verse is saying is, don't let wine mess you up and control you. Let the Holy Spirit control you. And what happens is when wine gets in our minds and stuff, and we do stuff out there we'd normally not do. I've known people could drink one beer and they's a different person. But don't let alcohol influence you. Let the Holy Spirit influence you. Let the Holy Spirit reveal things to say. Let the Holy Spirit show you who to talk to. Show you who to witness to. Show you what you need to be doing in the church. Show you what you need, where you need to work. Allow the Holy Spirit to influence your will. Amen. You must be born again. We read verses starting at verse 9. Matthew here had been called. Jesus called him and told him to follow Him. And Matthew followed Him. And then at verse 10, they've had a party, a celebration. Matthew, in turn, has thrown a party. And see, these other disciples couldn't understand what was going on. Here they were, all trying to obey all these laws and trying to be real dignified. They fast so many times a week. They do this so many times a week. And here you are over here having a party. What's going on? Glory, hallelujah. Whew. This new life brings excitement. Matthew said, this is the best thing ever happened to me, and I want to have a party, and I want to invite all my friends. I want them to know this same Jesus I know. Amen. That's where it was at. That's what the party was all about. He gathered up, you remember Cornelius, as we went through Acts, that the Lord had come to him and said, call Peter. And when Peter got there, he had the house full of people. He said, we all want to know about this Jesus. And that's what Matthew was saying. This is an exciting thing, an exciting day. The Lord has come into my life, and I want to share it. Boy, that ought to be... Are we like that? Are we excited about serving the Lord? Amen? If you're excited, at least smile at me. Amen? See, the world needs to say, everybody else is all lum dum, and that bunch of Marbletons having a party over. We got something to party about. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The next thing there, see, these disciples was full of anxiety and fear, trying to be good enough, trying to do the right thing, trying to get everything done. And like Martha was cumbered with much serving, and we try to work and get as in part of every church that we can, and get and do this and do that, and just so well. You ever get like that? And we lose the joy of serving Him. We get so caught up sometimes in the work, in the work of the Lord, we forget the Lord of the work. And we lose our joy, and we just anxious and just running and tearing and whatever we involved in. See, that if a devil can get us that way, it gets our minds off of worshiping Him. It gets our minds off of being joyful. It gets our minds off of serving God with joy. And the peace that passes all understanding. See, if the devil can get you doubting God's peace and joy in your life, well, you don't have that joy. You don't have that peace. So the Bible must be a lie. And it's not the Lord. It's that we've filled everything else into our lives, and we've kind of nudged Him over to the side. See, they were missing. The joy giver was with them, and they was missing out on it. How much are we missing out today? The joy that we should be having is filled with anxiety, depression, discontentment, trouble, sorrows. It's because we've nudged the peace speaker out of the scene. We've given Him a little window in the week of our lives. How often do we grab the Bible and go to our closet prayer and spend time with God? And don't care about, I mean, I'm not saying don't care, but don't let anything else affect that time. And we get along with God, and we allow Him. We tell Him our sorrows. We tell Him why we hurt so bad. We tell Him why that we feel the way we do. And then we read the Bible and let Him speak through us and to us. And give us the peace, and deal with our situations and help us. And you see, we've got it with us, but we still get filled with the anxiety and the problems. And when all the power of the universe dwells within our lives. Wow. See, maybe you're looking for something today. You may be here and you say, preacher, I don't have that joy you're talking about. I don't have that. I don't have that. I don't get to enjoy that. You may be here and never been saved. Statistics shows that the churches is full of folks that's never truly been saved. I don't know where you are with the Lord. But today, I want you to take inventory of yourself. If you're not having the peace and the joy, and I'm not talking about having hard times. We all go through those. But if we just can't have the joy of Jesus and the peace in our lives, there's something that's in there that we need to figure out what's causing that. Amen? And today, I hope that, see, this cramming stuff in our lives is not going to do it. Just like trying to sew an old piece, new piece of cloth in an old garment. Sometimes we got to call the garment maker in and let him do some work in their lives and in their hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for your goodness, your blessings. Lord, I'm so thankful that for your word and the way that you speak to us. And Father, I pray today that you just minister to our hearts. And you know what we're in need of today. Lord, that if there be any today that don't know you and your free pardon of sin, Lord, I pray today would be the day. And Father, that I pray if there be any that has cooled off and backed off and has allowed things to move in, God, you'd minister and move in that area. Lord, that if there's just anyone that needs to hear something special from you today, Lord, I encourage these. Lord, I pray that you'd minister to each heart. God, that you'd just bless abundantly. And help us to leave today full of the joy. We may not be happy about all the situations, but help us to be able to have the peace and the joy that comes from serving. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do you need to come today? Will you come? You belong to Him today. Do you know from the peace and the joy that's in your heart? You know, I don't know about you, but something that really bothers me is for me to, if I'm looking for something or something I need, and I have to make do with something else, and then I look around and there is what I needed the whole time. That just aggravates life out of me. I don't know about you. Isn't that the same way in our spiritual walk? We've got everything we need that lives within us, and we look and go and run everywhere else to get the answers. And He says, I'm here the whole time. We carry pain and resentment, anxiety, depression, because we don't come. He said in Peter, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon me, for I careth for you. If you need anything today, will you come? As we sing another verse, will you come today? Something to be happy about today. He's come and brought us eternal life. Amen. Now that's something to kick your heels up about right there. And I encourage you, when you leave out of here today, several go to restaurants, go to family. Let somebody know why you're smiling. Go in with a big smile and they'll wonder what you've been into. And then share with them why you're happy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone have anything on your heart?